This is an oral modfic conceived and recorded by Litra. Fandom is Star Wars, specifically Clone Wars prequels era. No pairing in my mind yet. We'll see where it goes. So I don't have as much of a plot for this one as much as just a general world-building concept idea. And that is, the Jedi are fae. As in, high court fairies, winter and summer court, all of that. Seelie and unseelie. Them taking children is the same thing they have always done. They kidnap children who they see have potential. They replace them with changelings. Anakin is a changeling. Anakin is a changeling. That's why he can do all the crazy things that humans aren't supposed to be able to do. They still have most of the same quote-unquote weaknesses that they've always had, but these days, so much is made of Durasteel and Plasticrete and, you know, all the fancy space materials that they don't have to worry about cold iron in cities much anymore. They do still have to keep their word and be careful about deals and all of that, which is why, like, Obi-Wan is such a good negotiator. It's because he is a fae who is constantly watching his language and manipulating that language to do what he wants. I do not know yet if Sith are a completely different type of creature or if they are just the flip side of that coin. Because I kind of like the idea of Jedi encompassing all types of fae, that some creatures are lighter and some are darker and some are like that there's this spectrum of good Jedi or bad Jedi in the, you know, as humans would see it. But they all follow their own code, their own rules, and therefore they are all fae. But it might be easier to split it into the dichotomy of Jedi and Sith, Seelie and Unseelie. The reason I'm thinking about this is because of Palpatine. I don't know if I want Palpatine to be a Sith, or if he is a Sith, I don't know if I want him to be like the same kind of creature as the Jedi. So for the moment, I'm just going to ignore him. this is Clone Wars era. So either Palpatine is just a really corrupt human, or maybe he's not the Chancellor and we have somebody else as Chancellor who is equally corrupt, but eh? The Separatists break off. They start warmongering, and the Senate starts preparing for war. Part of this preparation is, one, preparing the army, the clones, and I'll get to that in a minute. But two, and first and foremost, because it's shorter, quicker, they go and do several formal ceremonies to appease the Fae. Meaning, they go and ask the Jedi, will you please help us, or at least not hurt us, not stand against us? Because this is the same kind of, you know, people in a small village walking up to the forest and saying, hey, forest creatures, please don't mess with us. We're just humans. but in the tried and true method of, you know, they know what the Jedi want. There's these formal ceremonies, but because the Fae are the Fae, nobody's really expecting any kind of solid answer on that. They have done the ceremonies. They have formally invited the Fae to act in their benefit and not in their, you know, not act against them. So there's no, like, the fairies weren't invited to the party nonsense. And they asked for their blessing and, you know, all of the rules that you follow. But when you ask for a fairy's blessing, you're never quite sure what you're gonna get. So the Senate moves on and starts working on their army. In this universe, the clones are not human. And I don't mean that they're alien. I mean that they're not quite robots, because they're built out of clay and magic rather than steel. But they're the next best thing. Basically, the clones are golems, which makes them very easy to produce, and we don't have to worry about, you know, a Jedi having a vision and going off 10 or 12 or however many years earlier to commission the clone army. No, it's just, hey, Kamino, you're really good at building golems. How many can you produce really quick? And they're like, how many can you pay for? So it goes on like that. Now, the Separatist leaders, they either have their own rituals to contact the Fae, if it's a Seelie-Unseelie divide, or they pull up a bunch of other type of rituals that pull up a bunch of, say, djinn, and the Sith are djinn. Actually, I kind of like that, because if the Sith are djinn, then they are naturally, like, twisting the wishes. I mean, all Fae do that, but it's a different style. I'll have to think on that. So the Separatists call on what powers they can for aid, but because they're separated from their whole, they're out scattered all over the place, their call is a bit more scattered, and they don't get as many strong responses. The Jedi, on the other hand, are like, okay, you have followed the rules and the ancient pacts, so we will, yeah, sure, we'll help as we choose to. And as the battalions get sent out, various Jedi are like, yeah, I'm gonna stow away on this ship or that ship or whatever. And because the different Jedi have different way of helping, like, so you get a clone sent to a water world, and maybe you end up with really calm seas. Or maybe you end up with super, super storms that are bogging down the enemy. Maybe you end up with clones who aren't drowning as often because the Jedi is like, yeah, you're interesting. Here you go. I'm going to randomly refill your tank because magic. You get some battalions who go to rocky or desert worlds and, yeah, that rock was definitely falling right towards you, and then it just kind of moved and it didn't hit you. That was lucky. Or jungle planets where, oh yeah, you don't want to deal with any of the local wildlife because everything will eat you. And then they are left completely alone. And as it goes on longer and longer, the Fae get attached to these clones, and depending on the Fae, some of them are very people-oriented. And right now, these golems, they are not quite human. they are still more robot than human. They don't have will, they don't have a soul, essentially. But the Fae can fix that. I think I'm going to say that Plo Koon is one of the first to do so, in that he gives the wolf pack animal spirits. And an animal spirit isn't quite the same as a human spirit, but it's more than what they had before. It's more bestial, of course. It's more elemental. But you can learn from that. You can take that as a base and grow. And a wolf is already a very smart creature. So the wolf pack are given these wolf spirits, or implanted with these wolf spirits, maybe, and they start hunting. And these golems have never done that before. They follow orders, and there's a very complex system to get them orders from the people who are, you know, basically running the show from the ships or from wherever. But then, all of a sudden, in the middle of this battle, this team of, say, 12 clones breaks off and starts circling a group of enemies, and they're hunting them down, and they're not responding to, like, commands to get back in line. And Wolf, specifically, and the rest of his men, I don't actually know the names of the rest of his men off the top of my head, but the rest of his team start hunting like a pack of wolves. And they harry the flanks, and they take down the enemy, and they do a fantastic job. And invisible and watching, Plo Koon is like, "Oh, my children, you are such good puppies. Yes, you are. Yes, you are." And of course, he then proceeds to give half the rest of the clones who are nearby more wolf spirits, going, "Yes, all of the puppies!" And Wolf, the alpha dog that he is like, "Yes, this is my pack. I am pack bonding with everyone." And I'm going to say these clones who have been given spirits can, if not see the Fae, then sense them. This is when the Fae don't want to be seen, when they want to be invisible. So they know that there was a spirit, and they are now better, stronger, faster, more than they were before. Other Jedi do this as well. Maybe not quite as quickly, and it depends on the Jedi, because some Jedi are naturally aligned towards people, and some are naturally aligned towards the elements, or some are naturally aligned towards the weather, or, you know, each Fae has their own style. But, say, Obi-Wan? Yeah, he's a very people person, Fae. So he's like, "Yes, you, Cody, I'm giving you a name. You know how powerful names are? You have a name now. Your name is Cody. And here's all of the personality that goes with it. Have fun. Back me up." And then it just keeps happening. Like, Waxer and Boyle? Waxer and Boyle probably got souls when they met little... Is her name... What's her name? It's not Neera. The little Twi'lek girl. Imagine these two golems, armored figures, looking down at this tiny little Twi'lek girl who is completely unafraid of her. Or she is completely unafraid of them. And she's like trying to tug them in so they won't get seen into the house. And they have zero protocols for what to do with this little child, because she is a civilian and this area was supposed to be to no longer have civilians, so nobody thought to give them orders. And Maybe there's something in the clone's programming that is basically a request for further orders. It's a, I have come up to a situation that my programming does not account for. Fall back on basic programming and ask for directions. Except the Jedi, the Fae, well, several of the smarter ones at least, Windu and Obi-Wan and, oh, probably a bunch of others, Ayla and Kit and all of the fun people, kind of picked up on that. And Fae are always very much like, if you ask for something, if you ask for help, or if you invite someone, then you're opening yourself up. And even though these beings don't have a spirit and a soul in the same way, the fact that they can ask that kind of question, hey, look, this near person is asking for more. Let's push a bundle of magic into them and start the seed of a soul. Yeah, Waxer and Boyle. Waxer and Boyle follow that little girl around, and by the time they hook up back with the rest of their unit, they're like, so confused. And even, like, because their world has gotten so much bigger in the last 10 hours, and they're not sure how to handle it. But hey, at least Cody's here, and Cody's looking at them going, oh, criff. Because he's kind of used to that by now. But, I mean, congratulations, Waxer. Boyle, you're not shiny anymore. And they're like, wait, is this what that means? And Cody is like, yep. Go paint your armor so we can tell that you have a, you know, a soul. And they're like, okay, yes, sir. Because the painting the armor thing, that is totally a way for the clones to tell who is still, like, mostly a robot and who has a personality. Because it's such a weird thing for them. They can remember not having that extra little bit of whatever it is. And they can they know that they are different now. They don't know what it is. And some of them have theories about why or how, and almost everybody's sure that the Fae are doing something. But like, most of them are like, I don't ever want to go back to that. It was so the numbness of it. And even though you're standing in a world that is screaming at you now, it's so much better or stronger or whatever you want to call it compared to what was before. And there are plenty of clones who desert once they get that. And the Fae don't really care because the Fae have, like, the Jedi aren't about keeping the Republic's laws in this universe. They, just by standing with the Republic, they are fulfilling their end of the bargain. If they cast a bunch of spells in favor of the Republic, i.e. giving their soldiers a whole bunch of extra boosts in intelligence, in reaction time, in all of these things, Yeah, that's the fulfillment of their part of the contract. If those soldiers then choose to go AWOL, that is not their problem. Of course, it's also really easy to tell the clones apart because they are golems. They are human-ish, but... And it depends on... I'm not sure what legend... I don't know enough about golems to say if these are basically clay statues that have, you know, two arms, two legs, a basic face, but are very clearly statues come to life, or if they are beings that look human, but only on the surface. I haven't decided that. Don't know if it will even come into play. Once the clones have a soul, they can figure out ways to hide if they want to. So, and they're still given a sort of armor, I think. I'm not sure if their armor would be built in or not. That depends on what type of golem they are, I suppose, and I'll think of that later. So, there's a lot of stuff that goes on, like, the Senate starts realizing what the Jedi are doing. And they have no idea how to handle it, because golems can be shut down. They are essentially a different kind of robot. If the war happens and then they win or they lose or whatever, and the golems need to be turned off, what happens then? What happens to these golems who now are acting like people? And there's a huge debate, and it's, are these creatures people? Are these, and it's very similar to, like, so in canon Star Wars, the are clones people debate is, I've always seen it as one of those head banging against the wall situations, because of course they are people. But it's a little different here because these creatures were not, like, there's the extra argument there of these are not organic people. And so they fall under the same, like, rules and laws that droids fall under. And, you know, that whole debate in the Senate happens. And of course I have to address Order 66. By the time Order 66 rolls around, there are basically two types of battalions. There are the battalions which either do not have a Jedi, or have a Jedi that is not very good at their job. Either a Pong Krell, who either is a dark fey, or is a, you know, if dark fey equals Sith, then he has turned and become all of that. Still renegade. But he's still following the rules of technically helping the Republic, so... But it's one of those fey are tricky situations. But this is a one where even the other fey are like, no, that doesn't... That's not how you do things. Or it's a situation where the Jedi is attuned to things that are not people. Either a Jedi who is so attuned to nature that it's like, oh yeah, send this battalion in and they will be the luckiest battalion on the face of the planet, whatever planet they happen to be on, because rocks will fall on their enemies wherever they happen to go. None of these golems have spirits, but they have the ability to summon rockfalls. And then you have the other type of battalion, which is basically 80 or 90% living golems. And the humans on said ships, who were originally the programmers for said golems, have basically, like, shrugged and gone, I guess we've got a whole bunch of soldiers now, and become friends with them, and, you know, lived with these people. They have learned about them. They know that these are people now, even if they weren't before, which is strange for both parties. Sometimes the Fae will show themselves. Sometimes the Fae won't. The Fae be the Fae. You can't really control them. You just go with it. And you hope they stay on your side. So when Order 66 comes around, and this is why I was originally saying that Palpatine might not be a Sith, because he could just be a slimy politician who, because of all the chaos in the Senate and the debates in the Senate, is looking for a shutdown switch. And one of his committees, or someone from Kamino, tells him about a potential reset button, essentially. It's a code that forces the golems to stand down, and they've found out that it works on the golems who have spirits still. It's built into the core of them, and maybe it's something like, so I know golems are supposed to have a rune on their forehead and then something on their tongue. Maybe it's like, if you alter one of those runes, it kills them, or it shuts them down. Something that, as long as the golem doesn't have a soul, is just shutting off a machine. But if the golem does have a soul, then you're either outright killing a person or trapping them in a you're trapping a living consciousness in a body that is in a coma. And Palpatine finds out that it works on the living clones. Now, at this point, either the war is coming to a close, or there's some, he thinks there's a threat. And maybe it is a threat because of the Fae, that this is the most action the Fae have taken in centuries. And the Senate, sure, they asked for the Fae's help here, and they did all the whatever sacrifices, offerings were required, but that was a formality. And now you've got several hundred battalions, and the Fae are not stopping. And the enemy doesn't have this kind of power behind it. They've got three or four different Sith, Jinns, whatever they are. But three or four compared to a couple of hundred or more? The war is practically over at this point, and they don't know how to call the Fae off. It's like, congratulations, you managed to crack open the dam. Now how do you fix it? Nobody knows. So if you can't fix the problem, maybe fix the symptoms? Is the general thought in the Senate, which, you know, maybe not the best logic there, but hey. And that is for coming, and that comes down to stop the golems, stop the clones. So they have a big battle. They stop the flagship where Dooku is. And Dooku, I'm gonna say he's human too, although maybe he bound a djinn to his personal service. That would make sense. So they kill Dooku, and Palpatine is like, okay, we literally killed the enemy commander here. the rest is just cleanup. I'm going to stop the Fae before they can turn on us. And he hits the Order 66 button. And the clones that have spirits are trapped inside their shells. Some of them are shut down because they are no longer needed. Some of them are retasked, cleanup and rebuilding and all of that. But here's the thing. Just because you take away the tools doesn't mean the Fae aren't still there. And in this universe, the whole we're wiping out the Jedi thing isn't really a thing. So, the Jedi, since the war is over, and once the war is over, that's the end of the contract. They are no longer required to help the Republic. In addition, the Republic may be in issuing Order 66, or in the situation surrounding Issue 66, broke the contract, at least as the Jedi see it. And once the humans break the contract, then the contract is done. They can do whatever they want now. Now, some of the Jedi weren't all that happy about serving the Republic in the first place. And they just head off back to wherever they were before, back to whatever they were doing. Others, like Obi-Wan and Plo and Anakin, who has grown very attached to the 501st, thank you very much. And Anakin, I'm going to say, is a fire spirit, which is why he was vibing with the Jinns so much, maybe? Yeah, fire spirits, and okay, this is a sidebar here, but the reason the 501st and the 212th worked so well together is the 501st, being given life by a fire spirit, like to blow things up. The 212th, being given life by a trickster negotiator who is possibly an air spirit, are very much like, let me solve this puzzle. So we have the 501st who goes, I wonder if I can make this explode. And the 212th who goes, that's an interesting question. Let's find out. And then you get all of the big explosions. But back to what I was saying before. Anakin and Obi-Wan are particularly attached to their men. And the thing is, they need to make deals in order to act on the world. So they start making a ton of little deals with a ton of, like, smaller beings. Beings who either are not happy with the new regime. I'm not sure if it's actually the Empire or if this is just a new, like, part, it's still the Republic, but it's, you know, post-war Republic. Either way, there's going to be a whole bunch of people who are not happy, and Palpatine, even if he's human, is not giving up those emergency powers anytime soon. So, yeah, plenty of people who aren't happy, and plenty of people who are willing to, say, ask for vengeance. Yeah! I can help you with vengeance. How about two or three super strong, invulnerable golems on your side now? Hey, Fives, Echo, Magic. And guess who's back in the game? And of course, as soon as a few of the brothers are freed, they make it a point to try to free the rest of their brothers. And it's not as easy as a, hey, Faye, like Cody going, hey, Obi-Wan, can I trade you a lifetime of friendship for my brothers being free? Because, unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. But the kind of costs that are required and the kind of deals that need to be made, the clones are, if not completely aware of such things, then they at least have more insight into such things than many, many others. And so once they find their brothers, once they find the brothers who had spirits, who are still trapped, it becomes easier to find a way to free them. And the more clones who are free, the more people they have to help. Well, to a point. They don't exactly have the ability, they don't have the ships and infrastructure to just fly around the galaxy at will anymore. But, the more of them that are freed, the easier, I mean, the better. So it's an accelerating curve there. I think Fox and the Coruscant Guard are some of the last to be freed. Partially because they're on Coruscant, and partially because, like, the Jedi who hung around Coruscant, they didn't have a personal attachment to the Coruscant Guard. I'm gonna say Fox and his men were more of an experiment than the attachment or the pack that helped form the other clones, the other golems, clone spirits. I don't have an end point in mind for this. And especially in this second half or second arc in which they're trying to flee, in which they're trying to free the clones, there isn't a specific endpoint I'm working for, or there as much of an arc, or I don't know. It's a pseudo-rebellion, but what exactly are they rebelling against, since the Emperor is just a human? How much of the rebel alliance actually happens without the Jedi massacre, without the Empire rising? I don't know. New universe.